둘, 셋, 파!
For hey ARMY and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Releasing music, any day you're releasing music these days is good.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with the entire series. You do that, I'll give you three brand new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. And of course, you can grab us at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the show a rating, leave a review if you can. That always helps out so much. We've had some fantastic guests on lately, including Common and Pete Rock, Kylie Cantrell, 21 Pilots, Anthony Michael Hall. He stars in Trigger Warning with Jessica Alba. Annabeth Gish is here. She's got a new movie, Rod. Kurtwood Smith from That 90s Show. Paul McCartney, comedian Ali Sadiq, the band Wallows, Cleopatra Coleman starring in Clip, Todd Rundgren, G-Eazy, Andrew McCarthy and his Bratz documentary, Alexis Wren, she's starring in Latency out in theaters, and Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth, just an example of what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with 5 Seconds of Summer drummer Ashton Irwin, back with his sophomore solo album, Blood on the Drums. Ashton's going to take us inside his multi-genre writing. We'll hear about what his musical identity outside of Five Sauce is, and developing his guitar playing and songwriting. Ashton's going to go on to discuss going against the advice of others when pursuing his own music, the continuing power of music videos, learning archery, not just for a music video, but also for survival, and finding some influence in T-Rex, Echo and the Bunnymen, and the Church, as well as his thoughts on bandmate Luke Hemming's own solo work. All that and more. Let's talk about Blood on the Drums. It's Kyle Meredith with Ashton Irwin.
Yeah, Blood on the Drums, man.
That's a good title right there.
Thank you. You know, I just realized that after we'd named it and made the artwork and gone down this whole thing, I mean, obviously the brain has an incredible power of like subconscious association. And I discovered Blood on the Tracks
by Bob Dylan. Yeah, right.
So, you know, actually not on purpose, but a nice realization as well.
Blood on the Tracks, one of the great breakup albums of all time.
Yeah, damn. yeah, so discovered that and, you know, but, you know, onwards.
Yeah, right. Well, let me start off. I want to say how much I love this record. You go into it, you don't know, you know, what to expect. I went into it, the whole thing. Hadn't heard the single yet, so I heard it all at once. And my notes over here is just out of control, because I said the bass lines of Rebel of Heart and Indestructible this darkness to them that kind of reminds me of Thriller, the fallout boyishness of Wicked Habits, Endless Wave and the 60s psychedelia California vibe to it, the canyon, that coda on the canyon. Like, there's all these moments throughout the record that just weren't obvious choices. It doesn't sound like they were obvious songwriter choices, and I appreciated them so much.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, the way I make music, I mean, I'm not very, I don't have a lot of restraint. I don't go, oh my gosh, is this the right genre? Or, you know, I really do flow with how I'm feeling and what I'm listening to. And I have a lot of different creative relationships with different producers. Like the songs you just mentioned then are by Matt Pauling, the producer who I did my first album with and some 5 Seconds of Summer with, and then also John Feldman. And I have really varying relationships in terms of like what I create with both of those producers. So ended up Blood on the Drums is kind of this accumulation of both of those creative processes, you know?
I mean, Feldman, always working, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He has an amazing work ethic, but he's also, he has so many skill sets. I mean, talk about, if you forget the music industry for a second, just the way he has this really incredible balance of family life, personal life. He does a lot of things for other people, a lot of acts of service, and, you know, and then obviously making awesome pop rock records on the daily. So he has a whole thing going on, and to be around him for a minute really opens your eyes up and goes, damn, and you go, damn, like I could be doing more with my day, like this guy.
Those type of people just make us feel bad, feel worse about ourselves due to their
And also I was like, well, thank God he's working with me, because you know. But yeah,
so it is it's second solo album.
Yeah.
What is that? Do you learn from the first? Is that part of the equation of going into this one? Is there a reaction to the first? Because for a lot of artists, especially with longevity, that's a natural thing. You know, a lot of records are reactions to the previous one.
Yeah. Well, the first one I made during the pandemic, my main goals were, okay, I'm not going to allow myself to just sit on the couch for a couple years. I mean, that sounds really terrifying to me, and I don't think that would have been good for me, because you know, I've been used to touring and getting out there and playing drums and singing to people, you know, 7 days a week. So yeah, I was terrified of that stopping. So you know, I actually lived with the producer Matt Pauling, so I looked at him literally when the lockdown happened and I said, dude, we need to make something of this time. Like, we can't just like let this slip by. So we decided to make my first album, Super Bloom. And obviously I'm always, you know, working on the band 5 Seconds of Summer, but whenever I get a year off or someone has a kid or someone decides to go like on a 2-year vacation or whatever, I am like, this is prime time for me to do a solo record, and I'm not going to miss this opportunity. So this year presented itself. I wasn't touring or anything. And my response to the last record was, well, I should do another one for sure. I mean, I loved it and I loved making it. And one of my main goals during my 20s was to just make as much music as I possibly can. So, you know, Blood on the Drums is kind of an ode to that and that passion and that kind of drive. But also I was lucky enough to have the time to do it this year. So
do you find, or are you able to articulate your musical identity outside of the band?
Yeah. I really love it. Like this time around on Blood on the Drums, I used to think a lot about, well, does that sound too much like Five Sauce? Would I make my own music? Like, you know, you got to ask these questions, like, you know, because I've written with that band for nearly 14 years. And, you know, you have to think about it. Like this time I was looser with myself. I was just like, make whatever you want to make at this point in time. I love contemporary pop. I love rock. I love heavy rock, hard rock. Psychedelia, I love all these different contemporary elements in my music. So making Blood on the Drums, I didn't really hold back at all. I just went for it and wanted those kind of pop hooks in it this time, and wanted contemporary edge to this record that I got. So,
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ashton Irwin. Like, I know this about you and your music, but there's still those moments of surprise.
Right.
California Holds Her Breath Tonight, which, by the way, is my favorite title
Oh, thanks.
That song is sort of an epic. It, like, there's an epic structure to it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because California is in there and the acoustics, but you know, there's Led Zeppelin going to California, the Battle of Evermore.
Yeah. You know,
like, I would love to hear about this song. This is my favorite song on the album.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I love playing that song acoustically. I've been working on my finger picking and stuff on acoustic, and everybody knows me as a drummer, but I've been attempting to get better at guitar for maybe 20 years. It's not been my most successful pursuit, but we're getting there. And on this record, you hear a lot of my acoustic playing, which is one of the things that, like, people that know me, they're like, dude, you're finally getting that guitar thing down. I'm like, yes, finally. But California Holds Her Breath was inspired by a really intensely beautiful but dark story that John and I were sharing. John does a lot of service for AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and he had met a woman that I won't name out of respect. He was sharing a story with me, and he used to say, like, every time I would see her, I didn't know if it was the last time I would see her, and I would hold my breath until I would see her again, because I didn't know if she'd, you know, do something crazy or fall off into addiction again and we'd just never see her again. And I'd always be holding my breath until we saw her again. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, where the hell was this? And he's like, oh, I was just here in California. So that's how we came up with California Holds Her Breath, because, you know, yeah. But it's also taps into, you know, a lot of young people move out to California because they feel like they can't fully be themselves in other states or where they're from. And that really hit me too. And I speak to a lot of younger fans, and I've really heard this story a lot. Like, I moved out of, you know, wherever, just to be myself, find myself, and come out here and just see who I really am, without the restraints of, you know, my local culture or where I'm from. So, you know, California Holds Her Breath really taps into a few concepts like that.
I was thinking, as you were saying that, because there's the quote you have in the press release about a lot of the album being about the people we leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just hearing that and how it kind of plays into it. There is also, of course, you said in there about, you know, learning that you're the only one who really has your back.
Yeah. And not even in a bad way, you know, just like, I think when you take charge of your life and you know, one thing for me, a big freeing thing for me, and something that a lot of people when I was younger told me not to do, was make solo music. It's like, don't ever do that. It ruins the band. And I was like, I think that's bullshit. I don't think it has to. I think we're living in a world, especially, I mean, there's multiple concepts you could talk about here, but we're living in a world where people enjoy individual expression, and they also are consuming so much music, so much art every single day, that I don't think the same stigma exists on groups not making music outside. And I also think people underestimate, like, 5 Seconds of Summer has been so insanely successful in, like, in households across the world, where I'm just Ash on my own, and I don't think really many people even know me at all as a singular guy. So I think it's cool, you know? So yeah, it's really nice to, you know, make these records and feel free to do that.
I mean, there's just too many examples that destroys that whole argument, from Ringo Starr having a greatest hits that we know most of those songs, to Dave Grohl and what happened there, to Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead. I'm really just trying to, like, I feel, but, like,
yeah, you know that feeling, I'm like, I need to do this because if I get old and I don't do it, I'll regret it. So that's just the truth behind, you know, me putting out albums when I can, with the greatest respect to my band. When I can make an album on my own, I will, because I love it. And this is, you know, also, I don't take it for granted, like, that I actually have a small pool of listeners, and that's also, people are listening. Like, so I think it's amazing. Yeah.
And then where you take it from there, because, you know, Straight to Your Heart, which, again, great first single, and you get the video, and what, you're making a video for all the songs, or maybe you already have.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, this time around, obviously the music video, a lot of people would say it's dead.
Wait, can I interrupt you, by the way, just to say that while I was traveling last week, the hotel had MTV, the various MTV channels. I think it was MTV Live, MTV Classic, something like that. And it was heaven. I just sat back and watched new music videos the same way I would have 20 years ago. And they're all great.
It's such a valuable expression. And it's also for like people that are actually listening, like active listeners and people that actually want to get involved in your art. Spell it out to them in a great music video, like what kind of culture you're trying to be a part of or create, what kind of message you're trying to have, and also what kind of image you're trying to display when it comes to your live gigs. All of us have the blessing these days of being influenced by the greatest ever. And we have, you know, every day I'm on my Instagram watching, you know, the greatest performances of all time and watching the greatest ever do it back in the day. And you're constantly inspired by these images and videos. So I think our era of artists needs to continue to make that visual art form because, yeah, it helps people understand what you're going for.
So when you have that many music videos all at once and you have all these images of the greatest ever, I mean, we talk a lot about influences for music, but are there send-ups? Are there film hero send-ups in these music videos?
I guess, you know, I'm out here in California and you can't help but absorb a bit of that classic film, like nostalgia that exists out here with the classics. And just being here leads opportunity to all these talented people who are cinematographers and lighting directors and people that love to write and come up with concepts. And one of the main things that I've been inspired by, and it's nobody in particular from the past, but it's the people that I've gotten to meet and gravitate towards whilst being in here and living here. So, you know, it's really a massive social thing for me, magnetizing and being a part of the people's lives and creations that I want to be a part of. So the people that I made all these videos with, it's like me, my manager Owen, and the guy we film it with, Ryan Fleming, and it's just us three trying to conquer 16 music videos together and come up with it ourselves. And it's like going to film school or something, you know. It's like, it's crazy. It's been really challenging, but really wanted to dive into becoming a better visual creator. So that's why we have so many videos.
You climb the mountain that it takes to make an album, and once you're done with that, you're like, there's another mountain.
Yeah, you almost have to make a visual album too now. So, you know, there's massive processes, and you know, doing that is a pleasure. But also these days, you really don't know what song people are going to like. Like, you know, for instance, you're saying California Holds Her Breath, you really like that one. And I'm going, well, thank God we made a video for it, because you might be, you know, an example of, you know, finding my most popular solo song, you know, like you never know. So leave it up to chance. Don't put all your eggs in one basket and make a bunch of stuff if you can, if you have any kind of budget at all.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ashton Irwin. Now, I'll say the reason why I was traveling, my son was in the National Archery Championship.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have to bring that up because you learned archery for the for this video.
Yeah. I all of a sudden got really into, you know, that show Alone.
Uh-huh.
There's a show Alone and Naked and Afraid and all these kinds of shows. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, and then obviously conspiracy theories flying around, like, oh, my gosh, is the power grid going to go down in America? And all these kind of conspiracy theories, you know. And I was going, well, damn, man, like whatever happens, what I do know is I don't have any primitive skills at all. I don't even know, you know, I could fish, but, so it started with that. I was like, well, I need to learn a skill that, you know, doesn't require batteries or a YouTube tutorial. So I started and learned, and then just coincidingly by, you know, by chance, I had a song called Straight to Your Heart, and my friend LP, who I wrote a record with,
love LP. Says,
yeah, LP was like, well, the video for your song Straight to Your Heart that you showed me, it should be like you in a little Cupid outfit with a bow and arrow. And I was like, that's cute as hell. It sounds hilarious, but ridiculous. I'm not going to be like Cupid in the video, like a little, you know. But I said, it is a good idea, though, the whole archery thing in the video with Straight to Your Heart, and really leaning into that. So long story short, yeah, I learned the skill kind of for the video, but also just in case. Yeah.
First thing, 7-inch picture disc now with you as Cupid that needs to exist, I guess.
I know. Yeah, there's probably things I probably shouldn't talk about because the fans will probably make some kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, okay. I get you. Like I said, my kid, he's really great at archery. I'm banking on him. If it all goes down, like, dude, you're in charge of the family now. This is
yeah, dude.
you're doing it for us. Breakup was a great one. I know we're both Silver Chair fans. I heard a little bit of that. I wanted to hear that in there at least.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. No, I love that song. It's like, so you know, in the recording process, there's two versions of myself. There's like the one with Matt Pauling that I was trying to do this T-Rex classic rock contemporary thing that I really thought suits my kind of live persona and my whole, like, you know, there's a bit of croon in there, but not too much, you know. There's a little bit of that classic rock influence. So, you know, I love that song. That song really gets me going. I love that song. Yeah.
So you take this on tour eventually.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I tour a lot with a band, and but, you know, in other conversations, I really feel like the world is changing really fast, and I'm trying to keep it real about, like, is touring often so hard? Is that really good for where we're at? Like, is that really good for the world? Like, I don't know. So, you know, I have a lot of time to think about these things not being on tour. You know, but, you know, in the traditional sense, and as a live performer, I always want to tour, but for conversation's sake, I do question it, you know.
But at least, I mean, there would be shows of some sort, right? I mean,
hell,
you
yeah,
play the songs live.
Dude, it's all about that. Like, I would not release a Lethal title titled album called Blood on the Drums without doing that live. I mean, it's irresistible. I have to.
Any covers you bring out with it?
Oh, I might do a cover or two. I'm not big on the covers. But I would do one or two maybe. I really love, and I'm really influenced by a lot of new wave stuff. And forgive me if I'm, you know, claiming the era wrong, but I was listening to like Echo and the Bunnymen, and I was listening to The Church, and I was listening to groups like that when I was back in Australia. And I was always thinking about, like, you know, how they would do it, and, you know, putting that into the record, their influence, you know. So
that's a great sound right there. You're hitting on some of my favorite stuff. So it's, yeah,
really,
that's a bullseye. Echo, cool. And The Church. He's Australian, right?
He is Australian. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he just did a record with Greg Dooley of the Afghan Whigs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just so dark, and, you know, they have a song called Reptile, and that's what I think of it in their sound. It's like it's like Reptile. That's how I would explain that.
Yeah, yeah, and a really amazing recording artists. That's a big thing that is the difference between today and the days of yesterday. I think there were really, really, really developed recording artists back then. And that's why I reference these artists. They were so amazing at capturing a live sound, but in a contemporary way.
I had talked to Luke earlier too about his record. Any competition going on there that you guys keep?
I like his sounds. I thought, you know, you can't beat that guy's voice. I met him when I was 15 years old, and he was actually getting bullied at the movies, we call it, or the theater or the whatever. I went to see like Planet of the Apes or some shit, and I saw this guy, and my mate who I was with was being like quite mean to him, and I was like, hey man, like ease up on this kid, like, what's the problem? And I go, no worries, bro, like, nice to meet you, my name's Ash. And he goes, hey man, I'm Luke. And just by fate, we met that way. And then I found out he sang, and I went, good God, dude, have you ever thought of, like, we should be in a band? Like, you sound freaking amazing. And I go, what kind of music do you want to make? He's like, oh, I want to sound like Green Day. And I was like, shit, dude, I mean, with a voice like yours, and if we made a Green Day, I mean, dude, it sounds sweet. It sounds like it'd be great, like, you know. But I thought his record was amazing. And what I'm trying to articulate is seeing his growth through the whole time that I've known him, it's just crazy. Him and I have a lot of admiration for each other, and and our growth, and also our just like musical goals. Like, we keep it real with each other, and it's not competition, but you know, definitely want to listen to his stuff and go, damn, like, you know, hope my stuff doesn't suck in comparison, you know, because, you know, wouldn't be good for me, would it?
I mean, what you both are doing is great. And I mean that in a way, like, you are just adding to this thing that you've already built.
Yeah, it's a universe, you know? You know, what we want is, like, if you've been a fan of our band in 20 years, you can look back and you can dive into all kinds of different cool stuff that we made along the way. That's what, you know, my favorite bands have done. So, you know, I would love that. And I would love that relationship with our solo music and the band, and for it to be harmonious, but also exciting for our audience, you know?
Right on. Well, congrats on this one. Blowing the drums.
Thank
you. I love
it.
I've already heard it a couple times. Probably going to get in the car and hear it again after this interview. So
cool,
keep making the damn music.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for having me. It was a good time.
My thanks to Ash. Blood on the Drums, out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. Again, so you can keep up with all the interviews that I do every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Give the series a rating, leave a review while you're hanging around as well. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Bob Marley, Badfinger, First Edition, Better Than Ezra, Radiohead, Nirvana, The Cult, David Byrne, Tom Petty, Johnny Cash, Sarah McLachlan, Thievery Corporation, The Cardigans, Tori Amos, Bahamas, Sonic Youth, Blur, Royal Otis, Dido, Madonna, Tierra Whack, and my interview with Joe Talbot, the lead singer of the band Idols. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, I wonder where I was. Damn.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.